Hello and welcome. This year, the College of Architecture Research Symposium has a completely new format. We invited submissions from faculty, staff, and students of 100-second academic minute-style audio presentations. Here's a collection of submissions from the college. I hope you enjoy listening.
Design, health, and active living are the keywords of what I do as a scholar. I'm Chanam Lee from LAUP. Place matters in health, but exactly how and to what extent are not quite clear. Natural experiments offer valuable opportunities to address these questions by examining causal impacts of naturally occurring interventions, such as new policies and environmental changes. My interdisciplinary research group is currently working on two natural experimental projects called Active Living Austin and Active El Paso. These longitudinal case comparison studies represent two common types of natural experiments. One is the exposure type, like in the Active El Paso project, where we assess how people's mobility and physical activity change after new transit services come into their neighborhoods. The other type is relocation, like in the Active Living Austin project, where we examine if people relocating from an auto-dependent to a walkable community increase their physical activity and social interactions. Our preliminary results show that those who move to a walkable community increase their physical activity by 53 minutes per week, while those who remained in the auto-dependent neighborhood decreased their physical activity by 23 minutes. Streets, parks, and buildings are part of health infrastructure. Establishing those response relationships between the built environment and health outcomes is an important yet challenging next step toward understanding how and to what extent people are impacted by their surrounding environments. Natural experiments help make this important next step.
Hi, my name is Daniela, a biomedical science undergrad at Texas A&M University.
Hello, my name is Sarah. I'm an urban planning design undergraduate, and we are presenting on behalf of AgriLife Extension, Prairie View, and the Hazard Reduction and Recovery Center for our project called Understanding the Response to USDA Food Aid Among Minority Residents and Farmers in COVID-19.
The COVID-19 pandemic caused a tremendous strain on America's food supply chain. Along with food injustices, families that struggled to put food on the table pre-pandemic continue to struggle financially and cannot afford to buy food. This research seeks to understand the impacts of USDA's Farmers to Families Food Bank program in limited resource communities in 8 Texas counties. Faculty, extension personnel, and student researchers are all working together with mayors, faith-based organizations, and other stakeholders to understand how individual counties have carried out their Farmers to Families Food Box programs.
The project's objectives are to first compare and contrast the Farmers to Families Food Box program in select counties, especially variation in urban and rural contexts. Second, assess limited resource residents' experiences and perceptions of the program. And third, examine limited resource producers' perspectives of the program.
This project brings together 4 researchers from Texas A&M University and Prairie View A&M University, as well as 5 students, including 4 undergraduate research assistants and 1 graduate research assistant.
Overall, the project aims to create a better understanding of food-related challenges that limited resource clientele and producers face in times of disaster. The project specifically studies effects of the pandemic, but also a variety of hazards and disasters that affect Texas and the rest of the country. Thank you for your time.
Plotters are CNC machines that guide various tools along vector paths. I am Li Xiehe, a generative artist, a plotter enthusiast, and a human-computer interaction researcher at the Department of Visualization. My research aims to support the design and fabrication of physical creations by augmenting creative practices with software and hardware innovation. A major branch of my research aims to identify, support, and innovate robotic art. Particularly, I focus on making art and craft with easy-to-access machines such as plotters. For example, do you know that you can actually make embroideries with your plotter? In my recent project, I demonstrate how a low-cost plotter can be converted into a delicate punch needle embroidery fabricator. With a toolkit developed in this project, we can potentially utilize this texturally interesting structure in domains such as wearable research. Overall, I believe that robotic art can serve as gateways that connect creative programming and physical fabrication. There are infinite possibilities, and it is up to us to decide what we want to create with a plotter.
Hello, my name is Bahar Alizadeh. I'm a PhD student in the Urban and Regional Science program. My research is on open access flood inundation mapping for emergency response in flood events. Climate change is intensifying and causing numerous floods around the world, which requires a robust plan for better response and recovery. Rescue operations after a flood event are immediately started based on the locations of victims, available safe transit roads, and most importantly, the availability of equipment for transporting residents. Different types of vehicles such as cars, trucks, boats, and helicopters are used for rescue missions depending on the water depth in flooded roads, which is often approximated using data obtained from existing flood mapping systems, usually FEMA flood maps, water gauges installed near rivers, or local news and reports. Floodwater depth, though, changes frequently based on the flow of water and the surface texture and topography. However, current technology is unable to provide reliable real-time flood depth data in all roads and streets. To overcome this need, we propose a new flood mapping system that is cloud-based and uses flood depth data extracted from photos captured by ordinary people that include a flooded traffic sign with the location tag. Using Google Maps, the user will find a photo of the same traffic sign before the flood and pair the pre-flood and post-flood photos. The flood depth is then calculated by a computer vision technique that compares both pre- and post-flood photos. The generated flood map contains street-level data and can be updated in real time as more photos are posted by people. By providing open access to accurate flood depth information, people in flooded neighborhoods can plan their evacuation routes, and emergency managers and first responders can identify areas of need for search and rescue and evacuation resources.
My name is Mason Smith. I'm with the Department of Architecture, and the title of this research is Augmenting Spatial Cognition Capabilities of Future Workforce for Enhanced Human Performance in Altered Gravitational Environments Using Virtual Reality Technologies. How can we predict the cognitive demands facing the futuristic workforce? Combining immersive virtual reality with specialized brain scanning technology may be the answer. Emerging technologies are broadening the horizons of work to include unfamiliar environments such as space, extraterrestrial planets, deep sea, extreme polar regions, and sustained atmospheric flight. The cognitive demands on workers in such environments are compounded by visual frames of reference and spatial cues that vary dramatically from what we are used to. Performing work in such conditions could pose a significant challenge or even a threat to mission success and personal safety. Our lab is using VR to test human spatial ability in simulated futuristic work environments. We are combining spatial performance data, eye tracking, and EEG to build statistical models of mental load under various conditions. These models will be used to inform the design of specialized software for training and augmenting the spatial cognition of the futuristic workforce. This multidisciplinary project is funded by a grant from the NSF Future of Work at the Human Technology Frontier Program. It is led by Dr. Manish Dixit of the Department of Construction Science and faculty from the Departments of Psychology, Visualization, and Aerospace Engineering.
Title: Artificial Intelligence as an Advanced Methodological Approach for Estimating the Duration of a Construction Project. Authors: Hamed Alikani, PhD students in multidisciplinary engineering, and Dr. David Jung. Abstract: Government agencies responsible for civil infrastructure assets, such as state highway agencies, must estimate the duration of a new project prior to construction to meet a variety of needs, including bid document preparation, budget planning, and urban transportation planning. Data-driven models have been developed to take key project characteristics such as project type, cost, location, and work item quantities as inputs to estimate the duration of a project. However, such models lack taking complex but crucial features of projects into account, such as the sequence of work items. Recently, artificial intelligence techniques have been able to recognize complex characteristics of data to boost the performance of prediction models. This research develops an artificial intelligence model that takes not only key project characteristics, but also the sequence of work items to more realistically estimate the duration of a given project. Real data of 720 roadway projects from a state transportation agency in the US have been collected and used to validate the model. The model is trained on the data to learn the sequence of work items. The results indicated that the information regarding the sequence of work items impacts the duration of a road project. The proposed model can provide a reliable estimation of project duration before the commencement of construction with higher accuracy than existing data-driven models.
My name is Zofia Rybkowski, and I am an associate professor in Texas A&M's Department of Construction Science. One promise of large-scale 3D printing, also known as additive manufacturing, is that it offers the potential to print a building structure by harvesting existing soils in a specific location, a process known as in situ resource utilization. The materials could ideally be ground down and reused when the need has changed. The more that can be done to create reasonable living spaces using available materials that can be erected, crushed, and then resurrected in a different location and form, the closer construction can mimic cyclical processes found in nature, where living organisms die and decompose into elements, and then these elements are taken up by new living and breathing life forms. It is possible to imagine scenarios where soils are simultaneously harvested and printed on site, where a military clinic can be erected safely and quickly in a war zone, or in an Ebola-infested jungle, where durable housing can be printed for climate refugees in desolate, material-poor landscapes, and space stations can be additively manufactured on a lunar surface where in situ resources become an absolute necessity. I led our nearly $500,000 ex-grant funded project, but it was our interdisciplinary team made of research faculty and graduate students from architecture, chemistry, soils and crop sciences, civil engineering, and construction science that is making progress possible toward this larger vision.
Influences of physical environmental cues on people with dementia, a scoping review. I'm Wenjing Wang, a PhD student of Department of Architecture. I'm here to introduce our recent research work with Dr. Zhipeng Lu, Assistant Professor of Department of Architecture. Physical environmental cues can provide important support for people with dementia to negotiate and or adapt to their living environment. We define physical environmental cues as means used to effectively communicate information that promotes people with dementia's behaviors and supports their daily activities. Compared to interventions involving construction, some cues can be achieved more easily, with less expense and with fewer disruptions to people with dementia's daily lives. We identified 32 articles to examine existing empirical evidence. The results show visual cues have been frequently studied. The signage facilitates people with dementia's wayfinding. Concealed doors effectively prevent exit attempts. People with dementia also eat better with tableware of higher contrasting colors or good lighting conditions. Clear toilet signage results in better contents. Some environmental cues examples are shown as the image below. Applying cues properly contributes to improving people with dementia's well-being and decreasing the burden for caregivers. However, knowledge gaps still exist in the impact of other sensory cues, like tactile, olfactory, and auditory, which require further research.
This is Jamie Hicks Masterson, Director of Outreach and Service Learning and Director of the Texas Target Communities Program. While service learning projects and community-based research have important gains, oftentimes communities in most need are distrustful of academics, and for good reason. Communities are frustrated that research and service learning do not always benefit them in the same way that universities benefit. We can look for promising practices within the field of planning and community development literature, as well as the scholarship of engagement. Ask yourself these four questions. First, who designs the project? Projects co-designed with community partners will be malleable to serve the community's identified needs. Rigid projects designed top-down by researchers often do not fully capture localized issues or match their organizational goals. Second, who holds the knowledge? Faculty, staff, and students must be respectful of local culture and customs. Instead of top-down education of community members, collaborative researchers will respect the indigenous knowledge. Third, who benefits? The workload must be reciprocal, meaning faculty members offer their time and share resources, networks, and accolades. Last, who stays? Projects must be extendable and renewable. Communities are often tired of being studied by researchers that come and go, so there must be thought to continuous engagement instead of one-shot activities. To summarize, community members need to be involved early and often in service learning and community-based research. Ask yourself, who is participating? How are they participating? And what voices are missing?
Hwaryoung So, Department of Visualization.
Immersive technologies, including virtual and augmented reality, have shown great potential in embodied learning and training. Some of these capabilities include the ability to allow the learners to interact with the 3D virtual representations, to allow individuals to interact with each other in collaborative virtual spaces, and to interact with events that are not possibly done in the real world. Our recent collaboration with College of Nursing called Aspert VR is a remote and collaborative option for nursing students to learn Aspert skills in a shared virtual environment. Aspert, which stands for Screening, Brief Intervention, and Referral to Treatment, is a comprehensive public behavior health approach that is used by nurses and social workers to detect potential substance abuse in their patients. There has been a growing demand for nursing professionals. In the application, both an instructor and a student can run through a simulated Aspert scenario together. It gives instructors the ability to both role-play as the patient and adapt the lesson to fit their needs on the fly, giving them a more creative and flexible teaching experience. With a variety of scenarios, voices, and characters to choose from, the application gives the user a diverse selection of simulated virtual patients for training and education in healthcare. The advancement achieved through this project will provide new ideas in how we approach nursing education and the capabilities virtual reality has in education.
Hi, I'm Sungmin Lee, an assistant professor at the Department of Landscape Architecture and Urban Planning. The title of this study is Synergy Between Tree Canopy and Walkability on Crime Prevention. Since many U.S. neighborhoods are promoting walkable neighborhoods and embracing tree canopy goals, I have wanted to find more evidence of the role of tree canopies in mitigating crime and understand the mechanisms of how urban tree canopy can interact with walkability in reducing crime. This study used the case of Austin, Texas at the census block group level. I first found that there was meaningful neighborhood walkability threshold in relation to street crime. While walkable areas somewhat can be attractive to most pedestrians, beyond certain levels of walkability, the areas might be more prone to inflow of strangers in the neighborhoods and offset the crime control benefits of having more eyes on the streets. I also found that tree canopy was inversely associated with the street crime, and such benefits of tree canopy in preventing crime was more effective in higher walkable areas compared to lower walkable areas. This may be because abundant tree canopy cover can offset the negative sides of the workable environments in relation to crime. The findings suggest that we just need to pay more attention to the interaction between tree canopy and walkability in creating healthier and safe urban environments.
Hello, I'm Jaeyoung Kim, a PhD student working with Dr. Youngji Pham. Today, I am presenting my research topic, Real-Time Participatory Sensing-Driven Computational Framework Toward Digital Twin Say Modeling. A digital twin can be defined as a model to bridge between a real world and a virtual twin that allows analysis of data and monitoring systems to head off problems and even plan for the future using simulations. In the context of civil and infrastructure domains, the term digital twin has been redefined as up-to-date digital representations of built environments. My previous research is to localize the distant vulnerable object by using participatory sensing data. This localization algorithm can identify the geographic location of a target object or issue area in the distance, enabling city dwellers to report from a safe place in disaster situations. And then my ongoing research is to model the up-to-date of built environments in a 3D city model based on the real-time participatory sensing data. This crowded sourced visual data was obtained from citizens' participation to automatically identify the up-to-date states of infrastructure that would negatively impact the community resilience in extreme weather conditions. My future work is to propose a large-scale visual data-driven computation framework to model drainage infrastructure systems with risk analysis to improve risk-informed decision-making for disaster management.
Howdy, my name is Ahmed Mizayin from Department of Architecture at Texas A&M University. The title of my research is called Detailed Thermal Impact Analysis of Passive Architectural Elements in Hot-Dry Climates. Increasing the rate of residential buildings is a global trend that will intensify the energy use growth substantially. This fact has encouraged significant improvements in the efficiency of the building's mechanical systems technologies. However, few studies have addressed single-family house designs in as much detail as commercial-scale projects. This research includes a detailed analysis of a vernacular architecture passive element that potentially can mitigate the heat load of very hot dry climates. This analysis is part of a broader study that looks to evaluate how modern design can integrate such elements in modern architecture. For example, a roshan, a type of protruding window surrounded by curved wood latticework. The CFD simulation analysis of the passive element geometry included six sized variations of the aperture elements, and it found that the small scale opening sizes with roshans perform better to keep the air temperature and airflow acceptable. Lowering the house temperature is reflected in the cooling energy requirements, particularly in the daytime from November to March. The ranges of the daily average indoor temperature and relative humidity were reduced significantly from 15% to 30%. These results offer opportunities to establish housing criteria for improving thermal performance, leading to a path for sustainability and affordability.
Howdy, my name is Sedat Uzun Canadinç from Department of Architecture. In this research, I'm working with Dr. Wei Yan, and the title of our research is Augmented Reality, or AR, for Enhancing Physical Architectural Models. Our research presents a novel medium for architectural representation, AR-powered physical architectural model, which extends the physical limitations of a model without sacrificing its tangibility. In the presentation of architectural projects, physical models are still commonly used as a powerful and effective representation for building design and construction. On the other hand, AR promises a wide range of possibilities in visualizing and interacting with 3D physical models, enhancing the modeling process. To investigate the potential uses of AR and its augmentation of physical architectural models, we developed a framework employing a 3D-based model 3D model-based AR registration method, which is based on machine learning training so that it allows the physical model to be recognized from any point of view by the framework. We built an AR prototype that provides physical and virtual interaction, model interaction. A user can manipulate the physical model parts or control the visibility or dynamics of the virtual parts in AR. The prototype was tested over its registration, physical and virtual interactions, and it provided robust alignment of AR parts with the physical ones, tangible interaction freedom, and control over virtual, visual, and dynamic parts. Overall, the adoption of AR and its combination with physical models allow for many advantages, including displaying a realistic rendered look, displaying data, employing animation to demonstrate the usage and the dynamic parts of the building and its surroundings, and exhibiting parametric design options.
My name is Mason Alexander Hawk, and I am a PhD student in the Department of Landscape Architecture and Urban Planning. Our title for this presentation is Resilience and Recovery: Understanding the Extent, Structure, and Operations of Nonprofits Coordinating to Address Disaster Survivors' Unmet Needs. More devastating disasters are occurring at a higher frequency, with evidence indicating climate change is one of the main causes. Nonprofits that address disaster needs will only become more important and more necessary as climate impacts increase. For our project, we are interested in understanding the role nonprofits play in disaster recovery, which is one of the least researched, funded, and understood phases of the disaster management cycle. Most of the research about nonprofits in disasters focuses on the response and relief phases of disasters, which includes providing water, food, and emergency shelter, for example, rather than focusing on reconstruction and recovery. Our research addresses this gap by describing a relatively new type of nonprofit referred to as long-term recovery groups. Long-term recovery groups are either a single organization or a network of organizations meant to provide a coordinated approach to determine and address unmet needs of disaster survivors. They handle case management, the reconstruction and repair of homes, they pay medical expenses and utility bills, they coordinate childcare, education, and work needs, among many other things. There is currently no database to quantify the existence of these organizations. This presentation displays our preliminary data collection where we map the distribution of these organizations across the U.S.
How do we improve diversity within the visual computing fields? I'm Tim McLaughlin, Associate Professor in the Department of Visualization. Computer graphics has been a major part of visual storytelling in mainstream media and industry applications for over a quarter of a century. Yet, the field of computer graphics artists and technical directors remains largely white and male. Is it possible that the emergence of real-time graphics on personal computers and devices, coupled with more powerful and accessible ways to create content, can broaden interest in visual computing fields? My research specifically focuses on the impact of user authoring tools and near-peer mentoring on adolescent career identity development. Does learning how to create a virtual world and populate it with elements of your own experience impact a student's interest in computing and coding? Adolescence is a time of identity development, including vocational identity. Can a student's willingness to identify as a technical artist, coder, or computer scientist be activated or strengthened by making it easier to create self-reflective content for a virtual world, animation, or game? With funding from the Simons Foundation, my collaborators at Texas A&M University and Prairie View A&M University are working with a majority-minority Texas school district and software and hardware industry partners to introduce curricular elements, computing tools, and software that place students, their environments and activities at the center of the world of technology. Our studies will measure over time how the students' educational goals and their vocational identities are changed by what we hope will be an empowering intervention.
Howdy, my name is Hassan Anifooshe, fourth year PhD student in the Department of Architecture. My ongoing research is titled Gamified Virtual Construction, a case study of SwiftWall's adoption of BIM and VR. Building product manufacturers face difficulties in scaling businesses. Technology adoption is measured against feasibility of use and long-term profit. Building information modeling, BIM, and virtual reality, VR, provide the potential for teaching building product assembly to architects in design phases and contractors on the project field. This eliminates the need for deploying training personnel and setting up costly physical laboratories. Imagine a virtual environment that allows students, architects, construction workers to receive education and product training. A gamified system that saves thousands of dollars in equipment and training, all within a safe and functional virtual construction laboratory. We developed a BIM VR prototype for SwiftWall, a temporary partition wall manufacturer in Michigan. The prototype was tested in several demonstration sessions. On the field, the approximate time to install 40 linear feet of SwiftWall is 30 minutes at the simplest level. An equivalent and efficient task assembly timing for 28 linear feet was achieved under 21 minutes in the BIM VR prototype. This was achieved by accurate product modeling, texturing, interactive features, and game optimization techniques. Beyond education, a gamified virtual construction system provides adoption potential for training remote partners, thereby increasing possibilities of SwiftWall scaling to distributors and product carriers across the United States.
Hello, my name is Natalie Mueller, and I am a master's student in construction management. I'm here today to speak about my research with Dr. Julie Hartel in construction science. In 2018 alone, the EPA estimated that construction and demolition activities produce 600 million tons of waste. Further, the amount of waste generated between 2005 and 2018 grew 10 times faster than in the period between 1990 and 2005. How can we help tackle this industry-wide waste generation problem? Dr. Hartel and I are seeking to provide an opportunity for greater recycling capability through a specialized processing method that will increase the capacity and the diversity of debris incorporated in concrete. Currently, recycled aggregates are utilized in concrete blends. However, the debris must be cleaned and only certain materials can be utilized. Other forms of reuse and recycling in the industry also require sorting and cleaning. The process of sorting and processing construction waste can be time and labor intensive, contributing to landfill usage. A concrete blend utilizing rubblized, unsorted waste largely eliminates the time and labor issues related to current recycling methods and increases the availability of concrete aggregate materials. With this research, we aim to decrease the amount of construction waste that's diverted to landfills and to aid in disaster response efforts by providing a process for converting disaster waste from buildings into usable rebuilding material.
Hi, I'm Zohre Shalrian, PhD candidate at Architecture Department. The research topic is visualizing geometric transformations and their mathematical representations to facilitate learning geometric-based problems. I'm going to briefly describe our project starting with the research gap. Despite the remarkable development of parametric modeling methods and computer-aided design techniques for architectural design, many students still face problems in professional implementation of parametric modeling software due to the lack of knowledge and skill. Geometric transformations and their mathematical representations are significant topics acknowledged in many fields of science, engineering, and architecture. Many researchers, especially in the field of computational design, emphasize the significance of understanding geometry, geometric relations, and mathematical concepts behind parametric modeling for architectural and computational design students. However, the difficulty of teaching and learning geometric-based problems is identified among many researchers, teachers, and students. The current 3D modeling software may not provide a competent context to educate these spatially complex subjects. In our research project, we have been developing an educational augmented reality tool to facilitate learning geometric transformations and their corresponding mathematics. Taking the advantages of AR technology in superimposing virtual augmentation and abstract on the physical environment, we have created a spatiotemporal experiment for students. In the sets of tasks developed in the application, we support spatial experiments for the students to learn geometric-based problems and their corresponding mathematical concepts in an intuitive way while playing with the software. Our pilot study on 7 undergraduate students showed a significant success of our application on improving students' math skill in solving transformation matrices problems. In the last development of our application, we have focused on trigonometry equations utilized in the matrices of transformations. Thank you for your attention.
Hello, I'm Yoo Jung Kim, a graduate student working with Dr. Youngji Pang in the Department of Construction Science. I'd like to introduce my ongoing research on occlusion handling in construction scenes. Computer vision-based technologies have demonstrated the great potential to the automated construction progress monitoring. However, due to the intrinsic dynamics of construction scenes, the previous vision-based technologies inevitably suffer from occlusions. To address this issue, we propose a data augmentation technique that enhances the model's detection performance under occlusions. Especially, this approach is designed for liver occlusions, which is one of the common occlusions in construction scenes. In the proposed system, the artificial livers are generated to emulate possible liver occlusions during training. Thus, the model could train diverse occluded images, improving the detection performance without sequencer information. The proposed method is validated through case studies in that this method improves the detection performance in both non-occlusion and occlusion cases. Thus, this study demonstrates the great potential of the data augmentation techniques for occlusion handling that can be easily applied to typical object detectors without changing their model architecture. Thank you.
Hi there, I'm Di Liu, a doctoral student in smart construction working with Dr. Yang Jim Han in construction science. I'm excited to be here and introduce my research. Human-robot interaction in the construction industry faces many challenges in a highly dynamic environment. Particularly when we consider human awareness of the environment plays an important role in robot task performance. On the other hand, human perception can be easily investigated and manipulated in virtual reality environments. We can change various environmental characteristics and allow the human operator to see, hear, and touch differently. Therefore, it is really exciting to link the VR simulation with human-robot interaction studies, since how we sense the interface and the environment can directly influence how we interact with a robot. My PhD research focuses on leveraging user-centered research of human-robot interaction based on virtual reality in construction. One study I have conducted so far is to explore user auditory perception by changing building materials in VR. My current study is to investigate the multisensory perception of construction workers when they operate construction robots in a highly dynamic urban environment and how it would influence subterranean hazard avoidance. The most unique aspect of this research is that it helps to understand how human sense plan and act in a challenging environment we're working with construction robots, and to what extent the roles between human and robot can be potentially shifted in the future.
I'm Dr. Donna Schuld, and I teach art history in the Department of Visualization. For the past 2 years, I've been participating in an ongoing international research initiative on the theme of habitability. The project was inspired by a historical event that I wrote about in a 2018 essay. There, I described an unusual collaboration between the artist Robert Irwin and Ed Wertz, a psychologist doing contract work for NASA. In 1970, they co-hosted the first annual symposium on habitability and invited interested parties from across disciplines to participate. This was no ordinary symposium. It took place at Irwin's studio in Venice Beach, which at the time was a slum. Irwin and his fellow artists approached habitability as something you occupy, not just something you talk about, and emphasized that physical conditions are also social conditions. In 2019, led by curator Boris Oikerman at the Weissman Museum, we revived the format in Minneapolis, and like Irwin and Wertz, invited participants across disciplines, including artists, psychologists, sociologists, filmmakers, and space contractors. The group recognized a need to bring this style of symposium elsewhere and to expand the range of participants to include local interests. Our first priority location is Texas, where the space industry, extreme weather events, and a rapidly changing population make matters of habitability integral to our collective survival and success. In the past year of pandemic-driven isolation and calls for racial and climate justice, the question of habitability takes on new urgency. In the next 4 years, we will be seeking answers with the help of partners across the country as well as here at home.
Greetings. My name is Sam Woodfin, and I'm going to discuss the strategies I implemented to adapt offering traditional art courses online in the age of COVID-19. Using technology, I was able to maintain the momentum of my courses and offer something comparable to the quality of what was possible pre-COVID. My department's willingness to offer material and logistical support made it possible to deliver traditional art courses through Zoom. Even though the material was being translated through Zoom meetings, it was surprisingly successful. What I'd like to display to y'all is the actual methods I've used. How I used a Canon Rebel 5D Mark IV camera to transmit my course material, how I'm using the Adobe Creative Suite in place of traditional material demos, and I'd like to share the conclusions I've reached. These conclusions are that teaching some lectures online increases the accessibility to the course content, and this last year and a half have permanently changed how I teach.
Howdy, my name is Jen Tong, and I'm an assistant professor from the Department of Visualization. I'd like to tell you about the Virtual Realist Campus project that we are working on. Automated vehicle technologies have the potential not only to transform the future of transportation, but also to make our roadway safer by reducing crashes caused by human errors. A high-fidelity virtualization environment for training, development, and validation of autonomous vehicles could provide a digital platform that will greatly reduce the time and cost to develop the next generation of autonomous vehicles. Using RoadRunner by MathWorks, our team created the road networks and a 3D virtual environment for Rally's campus that are compatible with popular automated driving simulators and game engines. This virtual environment provides a platform for researchers to develop and test autonomous vehicle technologies. It also lays the foundation for digital twin of the Rally's campus. Our team is a part of the Texas A&M 12's unmanned team that participates in the Auto Drive Challenge, a 3-year competition sponsored by General Motors and the Society of Automotive Engineers. The Texas A&M 12's unmanned team took first place in the overall dynamic event during the fourth and final competition in June this year. We will compete in the second Auto Drive Challenge, which is scheduled to begin in fall 2021. We welcome you to join our team. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Yang Tianying. I am a doctoral student studying construction science under supervision of Dr. Casey Choi. Flooding is the most destructive natural hazard in the US and around the world. It has enormous negative impacts on communities as well as roadways. Despite the abundance of research analyzing flood-induced destruction, a critical knowledge gap exists in terms of network-level assessments of flood-induced roadway damage. The major objective of this project is to create a cyber-enabled digital twinning web platform. We call it AI-based roadway flooding digital twinning, so-called AirFlood. AirFlood measures, maps, and informs interdependent flood roadway risk for coastal communities while providing advanced predictive knowledge about the best possible evacuation routes. This model will elevate our understanding of the relationship between flood-induced risk and transportation asset vulnerability, as well as its deterioration under different external impact scenarios and damage measurement processes.
My name is Ziad Ashour, and I'm a PhD student at the Architecture Department. Building information modeling can support experiential learning, which is a critical learning style in architecture education, because it enables students to consider issues of materiality and building construction systems and it allows to comprehend complex construction concepts. The ability to translate virtual information and relate it to the physical world is a crucial skill in the domain of architecture. Cognitive mental load on the student is anticipated during the process of translating and relating components of a 2D or 3D drawing to their locations in the physical world due to the differences in views, perspective angles, and scale. Recent studies investigated learning approach to teach students building construction systems and materials assembly and configuration through the utilization of BIM and augmented reality. However, the level of interaction that allows students to inspect the virtual content such as building components is very limited. Moreover, our literature review shows that there is scant research investigating the utilization of AR in facilitating learning and understanding of architectural sections, which are important in the building design and modeling. In our research, we present a learning approach that facilitates the comprehension of building construction systems, materials configurations, and 3D section view creation of complex structures through the integration of AR, BIM, and the physical building. The study showcases a new mixed mode of real and virtual worlds, which has not been exhibited in the literature before.
I'm Courtney Sterrett, Associate Professor in the Department of Visualization. In the visual arts, there are 3 degrees of representation. Realism is a detailed and accurate representation of a scene and objects. Prior to the advent of photography, realism was a dominant genre in the art world. The second degree of representation is abstraction. It's a method of visual communication which reduces the subject matter to its essence, or essential details interpreted through observation. And the third is a non-objective representation, meaning there is no recognizable subject matter. In the realm of the graphical representation of data, there are varying degrees of visually representing data from charts and graphs, infographics, animations, and even sculptures. When presented in the context of the visual arts, spreadsheets can be a representation of data in a realistic and perhaps raw format, though the ability of the data to communicate to a general public visually functions in direct opposition to that of realism in the visual arts. Data visualization, data presented as visually engaging images and infographics, are somewhat of an abstraction of the data, perhaps sampled, in an effort to make the data more understandably visually. And the third category of graphical representation of data is data materialization or physicalization, the representation of data in a non-objective way, without a clearly recognizable subject matter. The function of data materialization is to lure the viewer in aesthetically and capture their interest with the ideas behind the work. Using data as a raw material, making it visually unrecognizable, connected only conceptually to the object.
Our indoor environment has a direct impact on our comfort, productivity, health, and well-being. People have different needs and preferences. Some like it warm, some like it cool, some prefer more natural light, and some don't. While the individual differences are well documented in the literature, and it is something we see in our day-to-day lives, the way we control our buildings are based on one-size-fits-all models and centralized building systems that cannot accommodate for these individual differences. This leads to a high level of dissatisfaction from building occupants and reduces our overall well-being. I am Ashranth Ariel, an assistant professor in the Department of Construction Science. My research focuses on modeling individual needs and preferences for the indoor environment and developing ways to personalize the environment using intelligent personal comfort systems. One of my recent studies showed that when occupants had the opportunity to personalize their indoor environment using devices such as local fans and heaters, they had a higher level of satisfaction with the environment. A more interesting finding was that participants were more satisfied when their environment was automatically personalized by an intelligent agent compared to when they had to manually control their environment, highlighting the value of automation for personalizing our environment. Furthermore, personalizing the indoor environment can allow the centralized building systems to operate under relaxed constraints, reducing the building's energy use. Reducing our energy use is more important than ever, and personalizing the indoor environment might offer a solution to reduce our energy use without compromising our quality of life.
This is Bongnyo Liu, Associate Professor in the Department of Construction Science. I'd like to talk about autonomous inspection drone for scanning exterior damages of structures. Civil structures are often underwater or covered with soil, making it difficult to observe their conditions. This research was to build underwater drones to inspect critical infrastructure and investigate the technical feasibility of a custom-built drone platform for safety and damage inspection through autonomous and intelligent missions. Unlike typical drones that fly in the sky, this drone moves in water like a submarine, adapting to the flow of water and capturing the images of the structure. As far as control is concerned, this underwater drone is equipped with the sensors and detect the distance and navigation patterns. The distance and patterns are used as feedback signals to control navigation motors. The navigation pattern is used to guide the drone. The drone navigates the entire underwater surface of the structure, taking pictures of the surface while recording the coordinate information. Artificial intelligence, especially computer vision techniques, comes in to determine the condition of the structure in real time. As the data accumulated, it will reinforce the AI engine and determine the type of damages. Thank you.
I'm Doug Wunneberger, Instructional Professor in Landscape Architecture and Urban Planning. Vulnerability, or the susceptibility or potential for experiencing the harmful effects due to a hazard event, is a major consideration when gauging potential impact of natural hazards. Vulnerability analysis focuses on community exposure to hazard events fueled by floods, storm surge, wave action, or high winds. A set of indices describe the demographic and cultural traits of neighborhoods in terms of capacity to anticipate, cope with, resist, and recover from the impacts of a hazard event. Limits of capacity determined by measures of child care, elder care, transportation, shelter, and civic capacity needs factors are combined to create an index of social vulnerability, SVI. SVI is dependent on spatial scale, but most detailed when determined at the census block group level. It quantifies vulnerability in relation to spatially related peer areas. Therefore, comparative risk can be determined among single or multiple county or statewide peers. Further, continuous derived surfaces weighted by population provide heat map representations of potential risk. Hurricane evacuation studies are one example in which physical exposure through surge models is joined with SVI to identify prioritized zones of evacuation based on estimated accumulated potential needs. SVI is updated each year from factors drawn from the American Community Survey 5-year estimate tables and available to researchers seeking to incorporate social vulnerability index assessments into their studies through the HRRC Open Data Portal.
Howdy, I'm Amir Maghoul, a Master of Science in Construction Management student at the Department of Construction Science. Imagine instead of using boring lecture-based safety training, which is common in the construction industry, construction workers can grab an iPad and walk inside their construction site and watch potential accidents that can occur at any specific location at the job site. Do you think such a system can improve the safety alertness of construction workers and alleviate potential miscommunications caused by language barriers? Here at the Smart and Sustainable Construction Research Group at the Department of Construction Science, we have initiated a research project which includes developing an augmented reality solution for safety training. The advantage of our AR system over recently introduced virtual reality solution is that it is site-specific and it has fewer implementation challenges compared to using VR systems. At the same time, it provides VR's intrinsic advantages over traditional lecture-based safety trainings. Based on the principles derived from the reinforced learning theory, our AR system employs interactive virtual avatars which are superimposed on real construction environments to provide realistic virtual accident simulations for scenarios such as falling from height and slip trips accidents. We plan to conduct a series of experiments to compare the effectiveness of our proposed AR system against traditional lecture-based safety trainings and also an equivalent VR system. It is expected that our AR simulation will lead to an improvement in the hazard recognition skills of construction workers as well as enhancing safety culture.
Howdy, this is Dr. Niraj Yadav. This work was conducted as part of my doctoral research. The committee was chaired by Dr. Weiling He from the Department of Architecture and co-chaired by Dr. Julian Kang from the Department of Construction Science. Regular efforts have been made in the past to optimize the performance of structural elements in the built environment. The onset of industrial production and advancement in classical mechanics allowed varying cross-sections of structural elements such as C, I, and L beams. Lately, additive manufacturing has created a similar opportunity with ongoing improvements in understanding and simulating mechanical performances. This research utilized Voronoi tessellation, which is a mathematical concept that divides the space based on its proximity from certain key sites. Previous attempts have been made to improve mechanical performances by altering the volume through addition or removal of Voronoi sites to determine the least volume satisfying the structural requirements. The novel contribution of this research is an innovative technique that repositions the volume based on the structural analysis feedback instead of changing the quantity of material or volume. The void spaces are scaled down versions of the Voronoi cell and embody the sites. Evaluations through computational simulations have provided early feedback that for a fixed weight and volume, significant gains can be made in avoiding stress concentrations while reducing the maximum stress and mean stress in structural beam members. About 10 to 30% reductions were observed across those parameters within single-digit iterations compared to the initial form. Such favorable results were observed when Voronoi sites concentrated densely in regions of low stresses and sparsely in regions of high stresses. This technique has shown the potential to help designers identify structural form that parallel their structure of function so that the material is just where it's supposed to be.
Hello, this is Jin-Sul Lee, a PhD student in the Department of Architecture under Dr. Ham. My current research interest is exploring human-machine interfaces for teleoperation of excavator. With the advancement of automation and robotic technologies, the teleoperation of excavator has become a promising solution for human workers in a hazardous construction work environment. Teleoperation means operating a machine or a robot in a distance. Among various types of construction equipment, we focus on the most commonly used machine, excavator. Since human operators and excavators are separated in teleoperation, the human-machine interface, an intermediate medium, is required to communicate between humans and machines. Several types of teleoperation interfaces, including joysticks, haptic devices, graphic user interfaces, auditory and tactile interfaces, have been developed to receive information and control excavator remotely. The ultimate goal of teleoperation interfaces is to make intuitive sensor channels that can provide and receive enough information while reducing the associated cognitive and physical load. This research examines different types of interfaces. The outcome is expected to provide better understanding and future directions for addressing underlying challenges of interfaces for excavator teleoperation.
Access to affordable housing is critical in every rapidly growing city. I'm Alex Pina, a student at Texas A&M University, and I'm joined by my research partners, Patricia Rocha and Trinity Templin. Today, in the Academic Minute, we will be sharing our research on how to create affordable housing through the use of accessory dwelling units within low-density neighborhoods.
Our research uses the city of College Station, Texas to understand the need of accessible housing and to deconstruct the socially and ecologically damaging effects of single-family zoning. The city of College Station, Texas has undergone a 25% increase in population growth within the past 10 years, and university towns with similar contexts are facing a similar reality in which population growth, owner occupancy laws, and a volatile housing market are diminishing accessibility to affordable and diverse housing. There is a lack of affordable housing within close proximity to the heart of many cities, the problem being that neighborhoods in the area already consist of low-density, single-family housing. These conditions typically reject the idea of integration of diverse housing opportunities into their communities by establishing owner occupancy laws to avoid the sense of high density.
By exploring the addition of accessory dwelling units into pre-existing neighborhoods, we aim to achieve a sense of invisible density in order to increase housing accessibility. The accessory dwelling units seek to establish a flexible modularity that may be adapted on a contextual side basis while maintaining the design preferences of the everyday working wage resident.
This project is led by Dr. C.U. Yu, an assistant professor in the Department of Landscape Architecture and Urban Planning and faculty member at the Hazard Reduction and Recovery Center. This submission is recorded by Chad Sutherland, a graduate urban planning student from the Department of Landscape Architecture and Urban Planning.
And Samantha Chang, a biostatistics graduate student from the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics. The co-principal investigators are Dr. Gang Han from the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics and Dr. Andrea Roberts from the Department of Landscape Architecture and Urban Planning. The COVID-19 Transference Vulnerability Project aims to explore the relationships between social vulnerability factors, public health conditions, land use patterns, and COVID-19 morbidity using super neighborhoods in Houston, Texas as case sites.
Over the past year and a half, COVID-19 has left behind a path of destruction across the globe. While this highly infectious disease has affected families and communities of all backgrounds, it has disproportionately impacted socially vulnerable populations. Socioeconomic factors, land use intensity, and public health conditions like access to healthcare or testing are less explored variables. As a result of the spatial analysis portion, we have identified two clusters of super neighborhoods that have been severely impacted by COVID-19 due to prevalent comorbidities, as well as gross disparities in access to testing on the basis of race, income, and need throughout Houston as a whole.
Preliminary statistical analyses indicate that total population, white race and ethnicity, coronary heart disease prevalence, and green space availability are significantly related to active COVID-19 case counts. We hope that the findings of this exploratory project can be used to understand how resiliency can be improved for vulnerable populations in the future.
Ray Pentecost, Architecture.
COVID has made the general public, and the design community in particular, acutely aware of the impact of the natural and built environments on health. During the pandemic, the world experienced heightened sensitivity to public health matters of space, distance, and personal health protection. And the design community is eager to understand how design impacts health. The professional and moral ethical accountability for design that protects health, develops better health, and helps restore health once it is impaired is changing the way the design profession approaches its craft. In July this year, at the triennial meeting of the International Union of Architects, the UIA, the Public Health Group, the PHG, a work program of the UIA, proposed that 2022 be designated worldwide as the Year of Design for Health. This touches every project by every professional in every design practice. It was overwhelmingly approved by this global forum. The declaration anticipates the development of digital online Design for Health resources to help the design community, the development of a global Design for Health research agenda, and the development of Design for Health research tools for architects. As the Secretariat for the UIA PHG, the Texas A&M Center for Health Systems and Design will spearhead this global initiative.
Farnaz Nazari, Architecture. Bruce Dvorak, Landscape Architect.
Deep learning methods can be used for fast prediction of building energy use to achieve energy-efficient building design at the earliest stages of the design process. Our study uses a convolutional neural network, abbreviated as CNN, to predict building energy use based on drawings and graphical representations of the design alternatives. that are generated at the earlier stages of the design process. The graphical data input for the CNN can potentially be extracted from any of the building models created in the design process, such as BIM or CAD. Our previous study has shown that while both examine neural networks, the dense fully connected neural network, abbreviated as DNN, and also the CNN, are capable of predicting building energy use based on the building shape, the DNN outperforms the CNN model. Nevertheless, due to the use of graphical design documents that are produced in the design process and are extensively utilized in design communication between architects and engineers, a CNN model may better facilitate communication than a DNN within the design team. Therefore, our research is to investigate potential ways to improve the prediction performance of a CNN for building energy performance prediction. Our approach is to employ multiple sets of images as the input, such as floor plans and elevations, which due to the spatial invariance characteristic of a CNN is not a straightforward task. A DNN which has shown outstanding performance in terms of accuracy and computational time is chosen as the benchmark for this study.
My name is Bruce Dvorak. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Landscape Architecture and Urban Planning.
As urban development continues to expand into natural environments, biological diversity becomes threatened by fragmentation, loss of habitat, and significant degradation of ecosystem services. Green roofs have the potential to reintroduce native vegetation into urbanized regions. But what if by design, green roofs are vegetated with a single genus, such as sedum? A green roof planted with only exotic vegetation may provide stormwater attenuation and microclimate benefits. However, they may do little to conserve native flora and fauna. If green roofs are going to provide significant ecosystem services for urban ecology, then knowledge about how they can be developed to support the regional ecology is needed. In Ecoregional Green Roofs, 8 co-authors and I present baseline information regarding how green roofs vegetated with native plants were designed to serve multiple benefits, including habitat for wildlife, net zero energy use, sustainable sources of water for irrigation, and the use of vegetation native to hot and semi-arid climates of the Western U.S. and Canada. A major goal of the book is to introduce the concept of ecoregions and how they can be useful for green roofs. The book serves as a beginning point to reference progress in these important efforts.
My name is Galen Newman, Associate Professor in the Department of Landscape, Architecture, and Urban Planning. This research simulates the impact of land use change on contaminant transfer during flood events in Houston, Texas. While many studies have evaluated the impacts of urbanization on runoff amounts and non-point source pollutants separately, few studies have combined hydrologic and water quality simulation models with land use change models to assess these impacts. This study applies the long-term hydrologic impact assessment model to the current and projected 2045 land uses across all 88 super neighborhoods in Houston, Texas, to estimate and compare current and future urban runoff and non-point pollutants amounts under different socioeconomic conditions. Findings show when comparing current land uses with the predicted 2045 land uses, runoff and non-point pollutants in all Houston super neighborhoods will both increase around 55% on average across each neighborhood. More specifically, nitrogen with a 77% increase, phosphorus a 60% increase, and nickel also a 60% increase, but have the highest increases in regards to chemical pollutants. Bacterial pollutants, including fecal coliform and fecal strep, are also projected to increase by more than 60% on average by 2045. Results also show that marginalized communities tend to experience increased flood risk and are likely to face more public health issues due to elevated contaminant exposures. To reduce these risks, prevention and mitigation efforts should be diverted more toward improving green infrastructure conditions. Further, advocacy planning is needed to empower marginalized communities to combat inequitable impacts related to the projected land use change.
Misalar Kamari, Construction Science,
In the last few years, the United States have experienced a record number of hurricanes causing billions of dollars in damage. The primary victims are communities and neighborhoods that are woefully prepared for it. Construction job sites consisting of unstructured and incomplete elements are identified among the most vulnerable environments to hurricanes. To carry out hurricane preparedness, identifying the location of potential wind boundaries like scaffoldings, plywoods, and metal rods in the construction job sites and relocating them in a timely manner is a key to minimize wind-induced damage to the neighboring communities. Hi, my name is Mirsalat Kumari, a PhD candidate working with Dr. Yongji Pham in the Construction Science Department. My research focuses on rapid and automated disaster risk assessment of construction projects. The main objective of my research is to provide risk assessment of construction job sites using large-scale visual data that are mainly collected from unmanned aerial vehicles or smartphones. Once the visual data is collected, a 3D semantic digital twin model is generated to automatically detect the potential wind-borne debris in the construction job sites. An image is known to be worth a thousand words. A 2D digital twin model can be worth a thousand pictures. Building on detailed information on debris location and their characteristics, a heat map is generated to visualize the risk of the at-risk environment. The imaging to simulation framework proposed in this research provides a heads up for practitioners to quickly recognize and localize the potential wind-borne debris in the construction job sites and thereby implementing hurricane preparedness in an effective and timely manner.
Mitra,
a design for the present may not meet the expected performance target when it is subject to different environmental stress. The sensitivity of building performance to the climate is much crucial in the subject of net zero energy buildings. Building energy performance simulation tools might seem like the perfect solution to help architects and engineers to imitate the future realities at the design stage. However, the relationship between climate and building behavior is becoming more complicated due to climate change. Currently, annual energy usage is the most common metric to evaluate building performance in a given climate over a year. This method is mainly based on the typical year weather, such as TMY3, which has a slight possibility to occur among all possible weather conditions in the future. My research questions the credibility and reliability of design decisions based on a single year simulation method, mainly in designing low energy and climate sensitive buildings under climate change effects. Our preliminary results show that the TMY can vary with a slight change in longitude and latitude of a project even inside the boundary of a town. Likewise, a TMY can have different amounts depending on the number of reference years applied to generate the file. For example, a TMY based on recorded data from 1998 to 2020 has different amounts than a TMY based on recorded years from 1991 to 2005. This study is still undergoing with focus on designing a net zero energy building using future climate projections and a range of potential climate conditions to minimize the effects of climate change on the expected building performance.
Hello everyone, I'm Seon Kim, a PhD student majoring in construction science. I'm going to present collaboration and integration-driven project management method for industrial projects. As construction projects have become larger and more complex, the collaboration of project participants and the integration of work processes have become essential elements to deliver a successful project. Many recent project management strategies and methods that facilitate collaboration and integration are reported to significantly improve the project outcomes. However, it is practically difficult to employ all of those methods for a project due to limited organization resources. A project team needs a proper guidance on what method would be the best and most appropriate to maximize their investment considering the project characteristics and environment. So this research developed a decision-making framework that will allow a project team to systematically evaluate project environment and characteristics to determine the most appropriate set of collaboration and integration methods for the project. An industry-wide questionnaire survey will be employed to analyze multiple influential components, such as project characteristics, organization maturity level, and combination of collaboration and integration methods, and their impact on collaboration, integration, and project outcomes. The results of this research are expected to help project participants and stakeholders select the most stable set of collaboration and integration methods that provide the best value to the project.
Hello everyone, I'm Seon Kim,
a PhD student majoring in construction science. I will make a presentation on serious games and simulations for the built environment. Serious games and simulations entail entertainment moments and enable educational connotations. They have gained popularity as productive pedagogical strategies to enhance the efficacy of learning. There are several reasons for their success. First, they take the form of low-risk and small-scale experiments, which allow people to experience impractical and impossible situations. Second, they create an experimental environment in which iterative experiential learning can occur and be observed. Finally, the recent COVID-19 outbreak resulted in increased use of serious games and simulations. So such characteristics are also beneficial to the construction management area. The construction management theories and principles are soft and abstract concepts, which are hard to impart. Also, most of the current construction management education systems depend on a traditional lecture-style teaching and learning without offering a deeper learning environment. As a result, they rarely allow students to explore and discover new knowledge at a personal level. So this research aims to develop and test serious games and simulations for some of the core construction management principles. Also, this research will investigate the impact of game design and development attributes and the level of technology acceptance on student learning outcomes. The results of this research are expected to address the future learning environment and needs in the construction management area.
Hello. My name is Anne McNamara. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Visualization. Just in the past 24 months, an astounding 90% of the world's data has been created. Roughly 2.5 quintillion bytes of data are generated by humans every single day. It goes without saying that skills, including filtering, analyzing, understanding, visualizing, and interacting with such data are increasingly valuable and highly sought after. In fact, predictions claim that data science careers will grow almost 20% in the coming 10 years. This research project investigates non-traditional methods for analyzing and visualizing data and relies on collaborative strengths across statistics, mechanical engineering, fine arts, and visualization. Students will work in small interdisciplinary teams to explore the viability of virtual reality and augmented reality as real-time interactive mediums for data analytics and visualization. The real-time interaction and 3D will set these projects apart from the mainstream. In summary, the issue this project seeks to address is how to best leverage new interactive media platforms to advance the current state of the art in data analytics and visualization. Thanks for listening.
Howdy, I'm Dr. Pat Sorman, Department Head and Associate Professor in Construction Science. And today I'm going to talk to you about the Texas A&M Space Alliance. We're excited because we've won a $7 million NASA game-changing development grant where we will work with about $900,000 of that to help establish lunar landing pads for the first cargo missions going up in 2026. Regarding extraterrestrial in-situ resource utilization, or ISRU, there have been several approaches that have been used to accomplish engineering requirements on a scale from scale of maturity from dust mitigation, component construction, horizontal construction, and vertical construction. Similarly, there have been industry, academia, and government-sponsored events where these technologies are evaluated based on requirements and criteria that point towards the technologies that show the best return on future investment. So my part of this research will help accomplish a proposal informed by past experiments and competitions that will create the manual of practice for evaluating future extraterrestrial ISRU capabilities and recommended best practices for autonomous engineering requirements related to NASA's 2020 technology taxonomy for future engineers, scientists, researchers, and industry partners to help plan a more rapid evolution of the technology for improved TRLs and expedited fielding under the Artemis project. Requirements are already shown in documents we've secured from our own NASA partners, and the criteria will include estimated cost, launch mass, working temperature range, site specificity range, energy requirements to output ratio, efficiency, TRL, and others. Using NASA's ISRU capability and gap assessment data for lunar regolith excavation, transfer, and preparation, as well as civil engineering and in-situ construction resources, we'll be able to build on past research as we plan for the real out-of-this-world mission later this decade. Thanks and gig 'em.
Thank you for listening to our academic minutes. I hope you enjoyed the presentations. and welcome you to submit feedback via the Google form that was circulated to your College of Architecture email. Thanks again. Gig 'em.